Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
So he can play football. Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Guys, and welcome to Black and Gold NFL Recap. My name is Matt Searles, and I'm joined, as always, by Fred and Sabo. We have a great podcast coming at y'all tonight. Really good because it's our last podcast before football, before real football. Of course, Broncos and Panthers are kicking off the NFL Thursday, and we are so psyched about that. What is going on, Fred and Sabo? How are y'all doing?
Well, I'm doing great, man. I guess I'm doing a lot better than you because I didn't have a seagull steal my onion ring. And the last I heard, you were almost on life support worrying about David DeCastro's contract. But I think everything's going to work out.
I can't remember the last time we talked, but I think the last time we talked, Hillary Clinton – didn't have black lung disease and wasn't coughing for 4 minutes. So, and you know what? I love girls in ponytails.
That is just a very important update. That's a very important update for everybody to know. So I'm glad we can throw that out there.
Yeah, what a way to start.
All right, guys, moving right in. This is it's an interesting podcast for me. I'm doing this one from New York. Maybe we'll have Bryce from Brooklyn calling. And I can meet up with that guy. right. All right, guys. Starting off, little rundown on what we're going to bring to y'all today. We're going to, of course, talk some Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got a lot of news coming out of Pittsburgh, you know, roster cuts. We're going to bring all up to date on what's happening around the NFL, the major trades going on, surprise cuts. We're going to talk about the Thursday game. And we're going to talk a little fantasy, too, because I just had my draft. Sabo had his. Fred doesn't like to have fun, so he didn't do one. And if y'all want to call in, talk a little fantasy, tell us how your draft went, any questions y'all got, you know, anything, feel free to call in. And that number is 347-850-8581. All right, guys, so let's get underway. First thing I want to talk about is, of course, Bud Dupree, placed on IR. There's been mixed reports coming out. Some say that he has had the surgery. Tomlin just said today that he hasn't had the surgery yet, and he's going to be evaluated and then see if he's going to have to. He made it sound like if he has the surgery, he's out, and that if he doesn't, then he can work his way back. Of course, he won't be able to play until after week 8, which is the bye week. And come back week 9, best case scenario, coming off of IR. What was y'all's first thoughts when you heard this, and what do you think about it moving forward? How do you feel about Moat and Chicolo taking over that spot? Fred, we'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I think everybody expected, like everybody else expected on Sunday, that the Steelers would be placing somebody on IR, but I think most of us thought it would be Senquez Golston and not Bud Dupree. So that was a surprise from that standpoint. Yeah, and as far as Tomlin, reports he had surgery, didn't have surgery yet. I don't think Tomlin would say to the guy could be laying on a table prepped with the doctor coming in, and Tomlin would still be saying, well, we're not sure if he's going to have surgery yet. but as far as I am excited in the fact that Golston is not being placed on IR, and there was, along with a report just a couple of days, within the last few days since then, that he had a good visit with the doctor. He's out of his scooter. He's not on his scooter. He's wearing a walking boot. So to me, highly encouraging, optimistic that they think Golston might be able to contribute because they wouldn't waste a roster spot, especially being them so thin at corner, if they didn't think this guy was going to come back to be able to contribute. And also, I think it also speaks to how highly they think of him, even though he hasn't had much of a chance to practice. So good. Honestly, that's good news. Of course, you're not on a budget pre-front, but and we don't really know where to get from. Everybody was hoping the second-year leap and looking forward to that. He was in better shape. But I think Motes is fine. And Ciccolo, if he can do what he was showing in that Panther game, he really looks a lot different this year. He looks like a linebacker, finally, after, you know, getting rid of Miami screwing him up and making him a defensive lineman. And the thing you got to remember, as much as we're looking forward to Bud Dupree adding a lot, our defense played well in a lot of places last year, and Bud Dupree had 4 sacks. So it's not like we're losing a ton of sacks. We're just losing the potential. So I honestly think they're going to be fine. And it could be interesting with all three, Bud, Fanquez, and if Ladarius Green comes off the pup, like you said, we could have almost a vastly different team in the second half of the season. So to me, it's almost like we got some pieces and we'll hold on for the first month and a half, 2 months, and we'll kick it in high gear after that. That's my thoughts.
I was shocked, just like you were, Freddie, that it was Dupree went on IR, not Golson and everything. But I can tell you, if I had a sports hernia, I'd be out for years. I'd be dead before everything. But I think they're okay now. It's going to be Motes. I keep on saying it's going to be Harrison. It's not going to be Jarvis Jones. It's going to be starting. I would make Jarvis Jones my swing guy. I'm sorry, but I mean, he's not going to be on the team this year, so why put everything in his basket? I'd rather have Harrison. I know Harrison's not going to be, but I'd rather have Harrison as my pass rusher than Jarvis Jones. Make Jones, I don't know if he's smart enough to be the swing guy. But Motes and Harrison's okay with me. If it's Motes and Jones, that's okay with me too. And I think this team, at the half, just like you said, Freddie, at the end of the half season, is going to be completely different. And that's when they're going to make their push. They're just going to try to keep above water until the, you know. So back to you, Matt.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised by it too. And I agree 100% with both of you guys. This team, like the more, I don't know if it's just a major optimist in me, but this team coming out of the bye could be just completely different. They could be healthy and ready to make a playoff run, you know, barring any, you know, midseason injuries. But we could potentially be getting Golston back. We could get, you know, Dupree back. We could get Green back. We could have, you know, a well-rested Bell. I mean, this could be just, I'm not going to say, you know, good timing because, you know, we'd obviously rather have everyone at the start of the season. But if we can get these major contributors, hopeful major contributors back at midseason and then just start hitting it, you know, heading into the playoffs, that would be crazy ideal and something to really look forward to. But, you know, there are plenty of people who think all is lost right now, but we'll see what happens moving forward.
I do have breaking news for my wife. The Pirates are winning 6-5 now. Cardinals hit a grand slam and the Pirates came back and it's now 6-5. Unbelievable.
Wow, the Pirates actually waking up from the dead, maybe. They're done anyways, but hey.
They don't if they don't have pads on, I tend not to know what you're talking about. But I'm assuming that's baseball. And so, you know, we appreciate the update for those who like other things.
So, watch our first call be someone that starts talking to us about the Pirates.
That's just karma. That's just karma. It's a football podcast, people. All right, moving on. After St. Quez goes, we got, of course, one of the big trades just happens to involve the Steelers. 2 years in a row they'd make a trade for a corner. Let's hope this one has better, you know, luck than the last one. Pittsburgh Steelers traded with the Browns, an interdivision trade, which doesn't happen, for Justin Gilbert for a 2018 sixth-round pick. I didn't see it happening. I mean, I don't think anyone really saw this happening, but I was surprised by it. I'm cautiously optimistic because, I mean, I remember on Behind the Steel Curtain, everybody was just clamoring for this guy. Everybody wanted Steelers to draft him. And Tomlin even said he was someone who we really considered going into the draft. And I think they would have taken him if he was there. But, of course, troubles with the Browns. He apparently had some sort of off-the-field issues, being undisciplined, being late for meetings. Browns suspended him. Well, I don't know. Do you guys think he can make a major turnaround in Pittsburgh? We have him for 2 years. I'm not sure, honestly, if they can pick up his fifth-year option the same way or if that's voided after a trade. I don't know if you guys know about that. But opinions on the trade. What do you guys think? Fred?
Yeah, and just to hit up with what you mentioned last, my understanding is they can pick up the fifth year. I could be wrong, but somebody wrote that. So, but be that as it may, you know, the guy had, like I said, he had off the field problems, so he didn't handle them in the best way. But understand, he's a young guy, no excuses, but guys make mistakes. But that situation, that even if you talk to the players, the defensive coordinator was horrible. They didn't know whether they were coming or going, wasn't put in the right position. So, again, he didn't handle his frustrations the right way. That being said, there is not a bad side to this trade from the Steeler point of view. And I liked what Tom, when they asked Tomlin about it at a press conference, you know, did you talk to anybody from the Browns about, you know, what happened there? And he said, no, I didn't want to hear from them. I wanted to hear from him. And he goes, I don't care what happened in Cleveland. He's here now. And that's the exact opinion I have. Yes, it's not a guarantee. And yes, he has technique problems. But athletically, out of this world, and you watch the drill of him doing his back row, he is so fluid. There's all upside to this. And if it doesn't work out, a sixth-round pick 2 years from now, that's like when Buddy Ryan talked about the Ernest Jackson trade. He goes, I would have traded him for a six-pack and it didn't even have to be cold. That's about what we gave him, a warm six-pack. And I just think it's another part of, yes, he wasn't doing maybe what they wanted, but I think it's another part of the new regime in Cleveland wanting to part ways with everybody. They traded, you know, Mingo and that. I think it was part of that, and we took advantage of it. I don't see anything but upside with this guy. And if it works out, and with Artie Burns, and you got those two guys on the outside, you know, later this year or next year, unbelievable. No, all good.
I'm going to just talk in cliches tonight.
Okay.
It's a win-win. I mean, like you said, you're giving them a draft choice, a six-round pick. It's 2 years away and everything. And the only problem, we're coming with another guy had problems sleeping. So he didn't show up at a couple of meetings. But 2 years ago, they were going to draft him. So I trust Tomlin. I trust Colbert. If they wanted him, then if you're only giving up a six-round pick, that's perfect. Put him in there, see what he can do. But I think he's going to be our kickoff guy. That's a plus. The guy ran, I think it was a 4.37 and everything. So he's fast enough. I mean, you got Burns back there now, and you got Gilbert. One of them's going to hit, and that's going to be okay with me. You know, I don't care. They're both 6 foot. They both can play on the outside. Take a shot at him. I love it. I said okay with me. Okay, Matt, back to you. Oh, can I give you the phone number?
Yeah.
347-850-8581.
I think everybody is pretty optimistic, cautiously so, but optimistic. And there's no more of this Carnell Lake has no talent to work with. He's got Burns. He's got Gilbert. He's got Cockrell. He's got Dolson. I mean, they're doing what they did with the linebackers before, where they just did, you know, first and second round picks, and that's all our linebackers are now. And now they're doing that same thing with the cornerbacks. And before we move on, we do have a caller just called in, 347-406. You're on the air with Fred, Matt, and Sabo. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Know your voice.
What's up, Bryce from Brooklyn?
Bryce! Good to hear from you.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I don't know about Matt. Matt had a rough night, but we're doing great.
I'm doing well. He's in New York.
I'm in New York.
Meet up with him.
Oh, Matt's in New York. Oh, hey, I always got to respect other New Yorkers, man.
I'm definitely not a New Yorker. I'm sticking out like a sore thumb here. People are on the subway, and they're like, you're not from here, are you? So I'm sticking out big time. But what's up, man? What do you want to talk about?
You know, I want to talk about this cornerback situation. Two things, the cornerback situation and then the outside linebacker situation. You know, the cornerback situation is very interesting. I've been a big fan of Ross Cockrell, and I think the Steelers have done a quick shift in how they view their defensive backs. They're going with bigger guys with speed that can do a better job of covering, even if they don't support the run as well. And I think that's the way to go, because I don't see any of these guys necessarily shying away from the run game or run defense. They may not be as physical as some of the corners before them, but if they can make that up in coverage, I think that's going to be good. I like Ross Cockrell. He's a very heady player. He's got some nice length. And I think when you get rid of Dorian Grant and you put Artie Burns at number three, that's a big-time statement by the Steelers. Your number three corner is like a starter. And I think what they're saying is, look, we're going to put this guy out there, sink or swim. We love his athleticism. He's just got to go play. We'll move Gay to the slot. We'll use Davis in the slot. We'll use Golden in the slot. We'll mix and match, as Tomlin said in his presser. And I think when you bring in Gilbert, look, Gilbert for a third-round pick or something would have been crazy. Gilbert for a sixth-round pick and your fourth corner who could return some kicks, that's pretty good value. So they made a quick shift. They're all in, I guess, on the new change with defensive backs. I'm interested to see how it goes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, I agree with a lot of what you said. The one thing I will say, at least from what they've shown so far, I think you're right a little bit as far as, you know, the Cockrell and Gilbert being, you know, having shown more ability to cover than necessarily being strong tacklers. But as you said, as far as maybe being averse, if you look, there's some tape out there. There's some averse. Like, Gilbert is basically, because I don't want any part of this. So that's one thing, you know, it's one thing to not have good form, but yeah, they haven't shown I've seen instances of not having the willingness. But I think you're right a little bit. It's like they see the shift of, they always still like to be physical, but let's get guys that can cover, and if we sacrifice a little in the run support, which you still want, then we're still better off because it's more and more, you know, it's a passing league. So
right.
You got to, in the case of, you got to pick your poison, well, let's go with the guys that can cover, which I mentioned is kind of the, you mentioned about giving away Grant. Grant was, if you want to say Grant was the anti-Gilbert. Couldn't cover well, but that dude could tackle, you know. But they
right.
said, well, we need somebody that can cover a receiver rather than catch it and then tackle after. So I agree with you 100% on there. What do you think, Sable?
Bryce, Dorian Grant was the most wish-washy cornerback. One play would look fantastic, then the next play he'd get beat for a touchdown. I thought they would try to put him on a practice squad, but this is a complete changeover from the way the Steelers used to be under LeBeau. They're finally picking cornerbacks that the first thing they can do is cover.
Right.
You know, you got Burns who can't play zone, and all these years the Steelers are playing zone. Gilbert is probably better at man. You got Burns and Gilbert are going to play man now. This is completely changed from the way they used to be and everything. You got Cockrell. They're going to play man, and they're going to play big. If you've heard us from the first day that I've come on talking on this show, I hate small cornerbacks. Anyone smaller than me, I'm not going to draft. I don't think they can play. If they're 5'10", they better be 5'11" or above that, because I know how tough it was, you know, how small I was and everything. I was 5'10", picking up. I couldn't do it, and I can just imagine it now. One time I went against a kid in college. I played against a 6'6 tight end. What chance do I have against a 6'6 tight end? And I wasn't a big, you know. This is a complete change for them, and I say go for it. Maybe this will get us to the Super Bowl. Gay going to the slot now. Sean Davis. We have – this is good. Here I go, cliches. I love it. Right, we're going to talk about the offense, the linebackers.
Just real quick, I think bringing Senquez Golston back, they're high on this guy. I know he's not the biggest guy, but if he can give them reps in the slot, Pittsburgh's going leaning more towards coverage and versatility. I think that's good, and their safeties can give them that, which is great. From the outside linebacker perspective, this is interesting because, I mean, that Bud Dupree, losing him, that makes me a little nervous because I like that guy's upside. I thought he had the chance to be a big-time player this year, and he still can. What I'm interested to see is I want to see what Chickalo does with increased reps. There's something about that guy that I think he might surprise some people. You're talking about he's got a great motor. He was a guy that was versatile. When he gained, when he had all that weight in Miami, he was a really good player. They lined him up. The Steelers have gotten him, got him to stand up. He covers better than what they thought he would. And I think that harkens back to the 90s when Pittsburgh would draft those DNs, work with them, and get them to stand up. That was the formula, and they found a throwback, if you will, in Chickalo. I'm really interested to see what that guy can do with some increased reps.
Who do you think – who would be your starters? Because I'm saying Harrison is better than Jarvis Jones. You agree? Disagree?
You know what? I just think based off of pedigree, it's hard for me to compare Jarvis with his injuries to an all-time Hall of Famer like James Harrison. James Harrison, the way he can play like he does is because he's a Hall of Fame talent, and not everyone's coming into the league who's got Hall of Fame talent, work ethic, et cetera. But I would still, at his age, I would go with Jarvis Jones and Arthur Motes just because I want to make sure that I got James Harrison for 16 games and he can play his snaps and rotate in and keep guys fresh. And I would start there, but I would see who's got the hot hand and then go. And hopefully Jarvis can give us better reps than what he's given us. Good run defender, though. Stops the run very well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
see. Go ahead, man.
Go for it.
Dupree comes back. What are we going to put him? Which side are we going to put him on? Jarvis's side? No, he's not going to play on Jarvis' side because it's Jarvis and Harrison. And we're going to have Motes and Dupree.
Yeah,
and Chickalo
is going to
be your guy. When Chickalo was coming out, I thought he was going to stay at defensive end. And when they made him lose the weight, I said, what the heck are they making him lose the weight? But he's done it. He's become a pass-rushing 3-4 outside linebacker. Next year he's going to start.
Yeah, he definitely could. And if earlier this year, one of the preseason game press conferences, talking about Chickalo, Tomlin said it, and I think this speaks exactly to what he said when he went down and looked at Chickalo. You know, they were down in Miami and looked at tape and looked at Chickalo. Tomlin said he looked like a linebacker trapped in a defensive lineman's body. And
yeah.
I think he's shown that exactly to be. He looks natural in pass coverage. And if you watch the game against the Panthers, not only exploding get off, he has good technique. Pass rushing is about working with your hands and getting the offensive lineman stand out. He did great with it. I think Chickalo, I want to see what he can do. He's going to have a chance. I didn't want to see Bud get hurt, but this gives him a chance. And maybe, like we were talking earlier, Bryce, your second half of the season, if Bud comes back, and it's almost like we're going to get the Calvary coming in and just, you know, kill it down the stretch. The thing about you were talking about, both you and Sabo, with Jarvis versus Harrison, I think it doesn't really matter who's listed as a starter, and Jarvis listed as a starter. But if you look at the reps and when they got the snaps, last year in the fourth quarter was almost always James Harrison. So if he's as phenomenal a safety's in, you can't be Father Time. So if you need to keep him fresh for the fourth quarter by starting Jarvis and putting up the reps, and that way you have James fresh in the fourth, I think that's a good plan, you know what I mean? So I think that's the best of me. But, yeah, Jarvis does so strong against Ron Harrison can do both. You're not going to see a guy stronger holding the edge than James. So he can do it all. Just keep him fresh. That's all I say.
Hey, Bryce, can I ask you a question? What do you think of the inside linebackers?
I love them. I've always been a Lawrence Timmons fan. I think they need to stop having him run down the middle with tight ends now. that gets a little problematic. You could tell teams are going to attack them if the Steelers are going to continue to do that. But, I mean, I still think in the box he's a runner and hitter. He's quick. You know, he's quick to the line of scrimmage to diagnose plays. He's tough to block. He's a leader on that defense. He's respected, as you would think from a former, third-team All-Pro guy. You know, he's by far, I think from a draft standpoint, I think he's Mike Tomlin's best defensive player he's ever drafted.
He's the first one.
I think overall, when you look at career, he's the best one. So I like him. Of course, Shazier healthy. If Shazier is healthy, he can stay healthy, a dynamic player. I think together that's a really, really strong inside linebacker combo. And I like what they can do. And if they can mix and match those guys, I think they'll be good. Hopefully Hargrave's okay. That defensive line, I like what they're doing. Very salty. Very salty group. Ricardo Matthews has got a motor. When you're a backup guy and you don't have the talent to start it, you better have a motor. And Hargrave and Matthews and Walton, those guys got motors. So let's see what they can do.
Do you know who was the shocker that was cut? Cam Thomas was cut this week.
Well, that's not a shocker. That's stiff.
A shocker. Bryce, before I let
so
you go.
Much better with Matthews
go,
and Walt and everything like that. I mean, that was such a big. How do you like Tyler, middle linebacker?
I think he's done some good things. I think he was worth keeping on the roster. You know, these guys with, the London Fletcher type guys are just, they're sneaky athletic and they know how to get to the football and play. You keep those guys around because if they start to develop and they start to really fill in and learn the pro game, they can be very effective players. Those type of guys help you win championships. So I like what I see so far.
All right, Bryce, before I let you go, just want to get your pick for Thursday's game. Who are you taking, man?
I got the Carolina Panthers. I got the Carolina Panthers. Haven't seen Trevor Siemian.
Nobody has.
But, yeah, no one has. Haven't seen him that much, but I think it's safe to say Cam, they have the decided edge at the quarterback position, and I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers.
I'm with you, man. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks,
Bryce. Have a good one. That was Bryce from Brooklyn pushing the Hall of Fame caller category, man. He's been calling a bunch. And we definitely appreciate it. So we talked Justin Gilbert, we talked our backers, talked Dupree. Bryce actually touched on Hargrave a little bit for us. Depth chart came out, Hargrave did as the starting nose tackle, and then he gets dinged up in practice. We think the reports are coming out. Fowler said that it's not serious. Hargrave tweeted out that he's fine. Tomlin said it's day-to-day, which we have no idea what that means, so we can throw that out. Hargrave says he's fine. Fowler says it's not serious. So we can cross our fingers. He's got till Monday to be ready. We'll see what happens. But I was definitely surprised he was the starting nose tackle because I think Caboli tweeted out we haven't had a starter on the D-line in like 20 years. For a rookie. I can't remember. For a rookie. And this guy is – for a third rounder, he's making moves. Quick thoughts on this, Fred and Sabo, before we move on and get to the NFL news.
Yeah, I'll say slightly surprised, not from how, because when you see what he's been doing, that doesn't surprise me. Just that the nose tackle, it's almost, I really see McCullers as still being your traditional nose tackle, take on double teams, eat up space, don't get pushed back, anchor against the run, whereas Hargrave, as devastating a penetrator is, and he's got great technique, he still needs to work on anchor against the run. So I almost see it, to me, as it doesn't really matter. They're both going to play and in different situations. So surprised that they listed him. Maybe it's something, who knows, psychological to say McCullers stepping up a little bit. You know, it could have been that type of thing too, just to get him mean. Because, Dan, you watch some of the plays he's done. He's gotten way better on his technique. And when he fires up there, you can't stop the guy. The one play against the Eagles where he pushed their center, who's a good right into Bradford's lap. So maybe it's just something to get Dan fired up as well. So what do you think, Sable?
I agree. McCullers, I'm trying to think of the word. Did you say they have to get some kind of fire under him?
Yeah.
Yeah. As big, if I was that big, I'd still be playing at 63. I mean, Hargrave, he's going to start. They had to start him because if McCullers would put any kind of oomph into it or any kind of, I don't know if he, I can't say he doesn't try, but maybe that's why they drafted him in the round they did. He just doesn't show me something. I don't know what it is and everything. Okay, Matt, back to you. I just don't know about him and everything like this.
Yeah, I mean, McCullers had, Green try and light the fire under his butt, Mitchell try and light it, Hayward to it. It's just not happening. I don't know. We'll see if he can do it. But they're glad they've got Hargrave there. And apparently he's shown enough to take that starting spot. Before we move on away from the Steelers towards a little more NFL news, I want to get a quick word from our sponsor, Frank Walker.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
This show is, of course, sponsored by Frank Walker Law, top criminal defense firm in Western PA and Western Virginia. We're also sponsored by Centerfield Smoke, top unique Pittsburgh sports apparel. You can check them out at centerfieldsmoke.com. So moving on, actually, we just got another caller in, too. So before we go all NFL news, we can go ahead and take this caller. 813-922, you're on with Fred, Matt, and Sabo. What's going on, man? What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys. Big Steeler fan here. I actually have to watch that Monday night game in South Florida, but I'm looking very forward to it.
Absolutely. What's your name, man?
This is Ernie. Ernie Talkin. I actually grew up in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, not far from Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the show,
Ernie.
Not much there. I mean, it's a great town because there's not a lot of blacks. But anyways, I'm down here on business. Cordell Stewart and I had a sexual relationship back in 92 where he blew me.
Cut him off.
Yeah, he's gone.
When he started about the not a lot of blacks.
Yeah.
A lot of problems up in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Cut that off. Oh, man. Hate stuff like that. Anyways, moving on. I can spend time on that. Moving on, NFL news. Big news actually coming out. We talked about the Gilbert trade, and another big trade going down. Teddy Bridgewater got hurt for the Vikings. He tore his ACL, dislocated his knee. Apparently, this was one of those really, really gruesome non-injury or non-contact practices. Teammates apparently were, huddling around and praying. People had to, walk away from it. It was too bad. So he's out for the year. What do the Vikings do? They target Sam Bradford. They offer the Eagles a first-round pick in 2017 and a fourth-round pick in 2018 to get Sam Bradford to keep them as potential playoff and potential, keyword, Super Bowl contenders, because I really think they were with Bridgewater. I don't think Bradford's ever had this kind of supporting cast around him. Of course, that mainly consists of Adrian Peterson. want to get y'all's opinion on the trade. If you were a Vikings or Eagles fan, would you be happy about this? Do you think it was a good trade for both sides, or is there a clear winner? What do you think, Fred?
I think, honestly, if you were a Vikings fan, I was thinking about this. I think it has to be, if you look at the alternative, once Bridgewater went down, and you have a strong team, they had a great defense, they did well last year, they got Peterson, and thought they got a little better in the offseason. And if you lose Bridgewater, all of a sudden you figure the season's going to be wasted. Because as good as your defense is, you're not going anywhere with Sean Hill. So I think from that standpoint, at least now you figure, hey, we got a guy who we have a chance at least. And so I think you can't be unhappy if you're a Vikings fan. Even giving up a first-round pick and a fourth, I think you're happy. Now, if you're an Eagles fan, and I have personal survey here. I asked my fiance Christine, what do you think? And I kind of had an idea. The Eagles fans are almost all thrilled, basically because they thought, Sammy threw a little fit when they drafted Wentz. He kind of didn't show up for OTAs, and then he made nice and came back, but never seemed like his heart was in it. So it almost was like a lame duck situation that I think a lot of the Eagles fans felt that way, like, all right, so this year we're just going to kind of go with Sam and wait for Carson, and then he's going to be gone. So I think the Eagles fans are thrilled. As far as a winner, I think both teams win. I think the Vikings gave up too much, but they had not a lot of options. So from that standpoint, I'd say the Eagles won. But I asked, even if you think as an Eagles fan, you potentially are not going to win as many games this year with Wentz as you might have won with Bradford. Do you still like the trade? Would you take less wins this year? She said, absolutely. Because now it's like, let's go. Now we're moving forward. So I think both teams won, even though the Eagles, as the Vikings GM Chris Spielman said, the team smelled blood in the water. They knew we needed something, and they were asking for stuff. He said, I won't name the name. They wanted Pro Bowl players from us. So the Eagles took advantage of it. I'll give Howie Roseman credit. Bradford still wanted out, and they got a good pick for him. They're going to host the draft. They have to have a first round pick. So what do you think, Sable?
Ooh, I hate the last part you said. They're going to host the draft over Pittsburgh. Oh, I wouldn't leave for 3 days. I'd be watching the draft down there for 3 days in a row. I think it was a win for Philadelphia. They got a 1-4 for them. Here's the way I look at it. Minnesota did need a quarterback. Maybe it was a little bit high giving up a 1-4. Let's go with this because Matt likes to play this. If it was the Steelers, if they lost Ben, would you have given up a first-round pick and a fourth-round pick for Bradford? Ben's lost for the season. Same thing happens as Bridgewater. Matt, would you have given up a 1-4 for Bradford?
No, I wouldn't do it. And I think a big reason why the Vikings did it and the Steelers wouldn't is Peterson's time is limited. I think everybody knows that. I feel like they feel like they were close last year. They won, they were one field goal kick away from a playoff win. And they haven't had that there in a long time. I feel like the front office feels like the fans have a taste of winning. They're close to more, and they cannot have, a 2-14 type of season, which will happen with Sean Hill as your quarterback. I wouldn't like it if I was the Steelers, but that's just me. What do you think, Fred?
I have to agree with this. This is a different situation for the reasons you stated. Knowing that, hey, Brent's going to come back, if you're assuming he's going to come back the next year, and we still have a lot of pieces in place. As a matter of fact, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I will, next year we have the potential of getting Martavis Bryant back, and if Ladarius Green is back healthy for the whole year, and so I wouldn't. Different situation. No, not for Sammy. He's okay. He just has that look, like he doesn't have the look about him of I could trust the guy and when you needed it. He's not a, he just doesn't have that killer whatever. So I'd say no.
Okay. Thank you.
It's important to remember also that the Eagles don't have, or they didn't have, a first-round pick next year. They traded away, I think, first-round pick next year and the year after that, and I think a second-rounder in there somewhere. So now they actually get a first-round pick back, which is, you know,
yeah,
even more crucial. And all they really did is they started their quarterback of the future maybe 6 or 7 games earlier than he would have, because he was going to start this year. Philly fans aren't quiet people. They're not going to sit back and wait.
Really?
Breaking news for you guys. So I think it's an unbelievable win for Philly. I was surprised to happen. I was really surprised the Vikings made a deal. They must really think that they can do it. The way I look at it is, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, then it's a loss for the Vikings. Because you don't trade away a first-round pick next year and then get Bridgewater back, and then you shipped out Sam Bradford, and that whole thing was just, you know, a wash. It was, you could do the same thing and lose without Bradford and get a higher draft pick. To me,
well,
I look at it as win the Super Bowl or not.
Yeah, at the summer, so you still, as long as they get into the playoffs and have a chance to win, I think they'll take that as we have a chance. And once you get there, anything's possible. And they should have beat them. I hesitate, and I'm the last person to say, well, we should have won if this happened, this happened, this happened. They should have beat the Vikings. They had that game, or the Seahawks. They had that game won. So as long as they get there, you know, and I think they feel that their defense is on a level, and it's very good. Similar, I think maybe looking at what the Broncos did last year, where they won primarily with their defense. If they just have a halfway decent quarterback, which Radford fits, this is our, you know, like you said, this is their chance. I don't know if it's a total loss if they don't win the Super Bowl, but I get what you're saying.
How old's Peterson now? 31, 32?
I want to say
30. I
want to
say 31.
31.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's
like
last. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like he's been playing forever. I mean, I don't know why. To me, it just seems like he's led the league in rushing so many times, and he's yes, he is 31.
Yeah.
He is 31.
He is half my age. Okay. But it's now, it was Carson Wentz time. So I think
yeah,
it was good. And who's their backup? That Daniels? Chase Daniels?
Yeah, Chase
That's
Daniels.
That's not a, and everything like that. Would I have rather had Bradford if I was Philadelphia? I mean, Philadelphia booed Santa Claus, so. You know, one of them Thanksgiving parades and everything like that. So they deserve. They're not going to be best.
Sure. And that's important for Steelers fans to know, because that means week 3 going into Philly, we're playing Wentz and not Bradford.
Yeah.
And
we're
I know we're going to talk a little fantasy later. I would not touch a single Eagles player in fantasy. I wouldn't touch Matthews. Wouldn't do Wentz. Wouldn't do Ryan Matthews, the running back. I just think that whole offense is going to be a bag of garbage.
Yeah, like you said, I don't do fantasy, but I might take their defense. I think their defense, but that's nobody on their offense. I think our defense is going to be very good this year. But
sure. Eagles made another big move. They're willing and dealing, kind of like the Browns are right now, which is not someone you want to be associated with. But the Eagles made another big move by trading former second-round corner Eric Rowe to the Patriots. This is a guy that was taken, I want to say, 2 or 3 picks before we took St. Clair's Dolson, and everybody was crossing their fingers, crossing their toes, hoping for Rowe because, you know, mainly because he was 4 or 5 inches taller, but everybody wanted him. And he went to the Patriots initially it was reported for an O-lineman, Josh Klein, and 2018 fourth-round pick. Fred, you just informed me a little while ago that the offensive lineman has been either taken out of the deal or never was in the deal. Anyways, he's not in the deal now. So Eric Rowe goes to the Patriots, and they sent a fourth-round pick back to, which again helps them because they traded away so much to get Wentz. But the Patriots just seem to have a knack of taking these players and just turning them into something really, really good. So just want to get y'all's thoughts on this. And if you would have done the same trade for Rowe, if you had to pick between the two, Rowe and Gilbert, which one you would have rather gone?
I know Eric Rowe, I think we talked about him before, and as you mentioned, he's a big corner. He definitely could play for Sabo. He fits Sabo's mold. Get those big guys. Somebody that was – his name was tossed around a tiny bit during the preseason, especially before we were going to play them, that the Eagles needed a linebacker and that maybe and definitely they had soured on Rowe, so maybe a trade could be made. And I'll just say this. I mean, Mike Mayock loved him. He had him in the top 50. I think he may be more suited for safety than corner, but to me, a second-round guy, if he's close at all, again, I don't think the Patriots, a 2018 fourth-round pick, I think is a good deal for the Patriots. And as you said, he'll go to the Patriots and he'll probably be a Hall of Famer or something, knowing what they do. So I think it's a good deal for them. I mean, and it just shows you just with the Gilbert, whatever went into Cleveland not wanting or this, if a team does not want a guy, you can get him pretty cheap. I mean, a fourth-round pick on this guy? So I think the Patriots did great, but it just shows you if a team sours on a guy, they're almost going to give him away. So what do you think, Sable? Well,
if I had to pick between Rowe and Gilbert, I'd go with Gilbert.
I didn't say, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't put
are
it.
We
I
saying
would
they
Gilbert
would get
too.
A round pick for Rowe? If both of them were six to get him, we'd have to give a six-round pick. I'd go with Gilbert. And he's not going to start for he's going to be the third safety at best for New England. Who they got? McCourtney and Chung. He might give Chung. He's going to be their third safety and everything like that. I can't see him playing a cornerback up there, but the way Belichick, you know, his defense is, he could be the big cornerback for them. I'd rather have Gilbert than him, but I think it was a good move for New England and everything. But we did like Rowe, and Freddie really liked him and everything.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know. For a third or fourth, no. I don't think I would have taken him for a third or fourth. I know 2 years down the line and everything. I'd rather have Gilbert for the sixth.
Me too.
Yeah, if they can turn around, that's going to be a heck of a deal. I want to give the number one more time before we move on. The call in is 347-850-8581. All right.
We're not taking any calls from Newcastle.
Yeah, honestly, not that guy. Patriots made another big trade, like I was saying they do, taking another former high-round bust from another team that likes to deal. Browns traded former first-round pick Barkevious Mingo to the Patriots for a fifth-round pick. It was pretty interesting. I mean, Mingo, of course, went ahead of Jarvis. Those two have kind of had similar careers, not being, you know, a good thing. Jarvis has actually, I think, played better than Mingo. But, of course, the Patriots trade away Chandler Jones to the Cardinals. Maybe this is an attempt to replace that and try and work some magic with Rowe and Mingo. Of the two, I want to know which one you guys have a feeling is going to do better there, which one you guys think is just going to bust out completely.
Oh, geez. I think Rowe has the potential to be a better player, but as Sable mentioned, with the other guys they have, I don't know how early they get an opportunity. I think another factor into why the Patriots traded for him, a couple injuries. Of course, remember, Ninkovic tore his tricep and was going to miss approximately a month. And then he got, if you saw, he got suspended for 4 games for testing positive to TED, which on a side thing, I think was kind of little more than coincidental to me. Oh, I'm rehabbing, I'm 32 years old, I might miss a month or more. Well, geez, if I take this PED, I heal faster, and after 4 weeks, I get suspended. What's the big deal? But anyways, Ninkovic is out for at least a month, and Jabal Sheard, another ex-Brown, but this guy did good in Cleveland, and New England picked him up last year as a free agent. he has an injury that he's nursing. So I think the combination of both those guys who both play and linebacker, whatever Belichick does in his defense, they're kind of an amoeba-type defense. I think that's why he took Mingo. So I think he can have an immediate impact playing. He didn't do well in Cleveland, but they were a hot mess. I don't know that either is going to bust out, but I think Mingo has a chance to at least contribute more early on. What do you think, Sable?
I'd go with Rowe. I'd rather have Jamal Shear out of Alden and everything, but I think Rowe will have a remember the word I was trying to come up with, Daniel McCullers?
Yeah.
I think Mingo, this is the same thing. Neither one of them have a lot of heart.
Mm.
I'm sorry to say. That was the word I was trying to come up with. So I don't think Mingo's going to make any difference. If he does, I'll walk to Cleveland to get a White Castle burger. You know,
I think it's just another example of a team from a guy in Cleveland, again, from the previous regime that was not part of the draft, and they're just like, we want to move on. So, again, a fifth-round pick, I don't know that my Eagles could be anything, but a fifth-round pick is not a lot to give up a guy. He does have talent, just on fifth. But, again, I think once a team wants to move on, you can get some potential decent players for not much, but that's just my take. Absolutely.
I think Cleveland draft picks for next year and everything. I don't think they were ready to draft this year, Cleveland. Weren't the Cleveland guys, they had something to do with analytics. They were baseball guys. Analytic baseball guy.
Yeah.
So they weren't ready for the draft, I don't think. So they're trying to stockpile. That's okay with me. You know, stockpile it for next year and hope. You know, they're giving up on this year and everything. They went the number one pick again, so fine. That's okay. That's a good move. Okay, Matt.
Gotcha, yeah. And before we move on, I want to give that number one more time, 347-850-8581. And I just wanted to hit on a couple things real quick to get everyone up to date. I can send this around. I'm just going to read them down, and then I'm going to throw it to you, Fred, see if you got any thoughts on them, and then keep going before we move on to the Broncos and Panthers game. So big cuts coming out around the league. Of course, as everyone gets down to 53 players, there are some noticeable signings, noticeable releases. Want to touch on those real quick. Dallas Cowboys are apparently keeping Romo on the active roster, not sending him to IR or anything, which means hopefully for them, they think he's going to be back, you know, sooner than that week 8 deadline for IR. They also brought in Mark Sanchez to back up Dak Prescott, which of course means that the Broncos released Sanchez. Hester signed with the Ravens. He's going to be their primary kick and punt returner. Watt is coming off of a PUP, and Jamal Charles is apparently going to miss the season opener. Quick thoughts on that. Anything stick out to you guys?
I'll just say now, so with Dallas, they got Romo on the roster. They kept him on the roster, didn't put IR, and they picked up Mark Sanchez. So they still have only one capable quarterback on the roster. Not much change. And besides that, I'll say that J.J. Watt, I know Cam said he's got Wolverine healing powers after his ankle. I think J.J. Watt does. The guy is fantastic. For him to come off that quick after back surgery, if anybody doubts, I didn't think he could do it, but he's a leader. He's fantastic. Great sign for the Texans. They actually have an at-week division. I think they're gonna win the division if Osweiler can do anything. So no big news for them. Devin Hester, the Ravens. I don't know if teams are gonna be returning many kicks this year. So I don't know how much it helps them. Like I said, my big thing, Dallas. Yeah, I honestly don't even know if Romo's going to play again this year. Supposedly, well, it's not that bad, but I think one the guy is one hit away from his career being done. So what do you think, Zabo?
We talking about cuts still, or we want to talk about Romo? I agree with you, Romo. I wouldn't want to be in this position. You know, one hit and you're – he might come back, but I'd go with Dak Prescott right now and everything. I was looking at the tight end cuts. I know we're going to talk about the only Steeler cut that we thought. Dorn Grant I didn't think was going to get cut over. Jordan Dangerfield, Buffalo picked him up and everything. But the tight ends that got cut, I was looking at that because I don't – I would like to bring in another tight end. That Logan Paulson, he was a starter. And that Rob Hosler, H-O-U-S-L-E-R, and that kid from Kansas City played for them, Tony Moki or something, I don't know, like that. Those were the cuts because I was looking at tight ends and everything. And that was if we're still talking about, you know, J.J. Watt, he's unbelievable. You know, coming back like that. I watched a movie last night, that CIA with that, what's his name, that Johnson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, he could make a movie. If he's Wolverine, that's okay. I'm watching it.
He's one of those guys that I think definitely could get into that. He doesn't shy away from the attention at all, one bit. Keep him going with this. Other notable cuts at least stood out to me. I know Justin Forsett was released by the Ravens and then later signed back onto the squad. One person in my fantasy league actually dropped him, picked up Terrence West, and now got to help them out a little bit, or not, and tell them that Justin Forsett is back on there, and he's the top running back on their depth chart. So a little, you know, moving around there, just trying to get a couple other guys signed and in the right place. D. Milliner, former ninth overall pick by the Jets, that cornerback was cut. Pats cut second-round wide receiver Aaron Dobson. Saints released Cortland Finnegan. And that's about it, other than Gavinek being the starting quarterback for the Niners. I don't know if you guys want to touch on any of that. If not, we can talk a little about Thursday Night Football and Broncos and Panthers.
Cortland Finnegan was a shocker to me. I would have taken a shot at him. I liked him when he was a cornerback. He's not bad.
But I think isn't he? He's another guy that seems like he's been around forever. I know. And if the Saints are cutting a guy, I don't know because their defense is atrocious. So maybe
one just got rid of Keenan Lewis. So you can just imagine how bad it is.
Yeah,
for pass coverage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no.
Okay,
other
where
than
we
that,
going
no.
next?
You said Thursday Night Football?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Going Thursday Night Football. I want to get y'all's opinion on it, who you think is going to be, who you guys think is going to win, and anything that you're really looking forward to. I know I personally am going to be watching Trevor Siemian. I want to see how he does and how that affects, you know, Demaryius Thomas. He, of course, is on my fantasy team, and I don't know if I should play him this week or not at all because I just don't know what we're going to get with Siemian. At the same time, Manning and Osweiler were not too good last year, and they got them all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. So that's all they really need from Siemian if this defense can, you know, maintain form. One that you guys think is going to win, what's sticking out to you? Go ahead, Fred.
First of all, I think Carolina is going to win, and I heard them talking earlier this week about saying the right things. The coach Rivera was saying, you know, it's not a Super Bowl rematch. That was last year. I've seen enough of players talk and see in other seasons. You know damn well the Panthers want to show that they had every right to be in that game in the Super Bowl and win it. I don't care what Rivera says, and he could say the right thing. The Panthers have something to prove, and I think they will. The Denver has almost the same defense that they had last year. They lost a few guys. Malik Jackson went down to Jacksonville. They lost a safety to the Redskins, David Bruton. He's more of a backup, but Helton gave him depth. What's interesting for the Panthers, what I want to see is they still have, for my money, they have one of the best front sevens, if not the best front seven in the game. The guy that could have won Super Bowl MVP, had it not been for Von Miller, their defensive lineman there. I'm missing his name there, but he had three sacks. Tony Chile had three sacks in the Super Bowl. The thing I'm looking at with the Panthers, though, they're starting a rookie corner who they drafted in like the third round, Bradberry, and that's another thing. The Panthers needed a corner. They would have taken Artie Burns if we didn't take him. I'll put any money on it. They would have taken him because they took this guy. And they also have – they don't have him, so they don't have Norman. They don't have Peanut Tillman. So they're starting – their secondary, I think, is their question mark. But the good thing is it ties into Denver. Their question mark is a quarterback. And Denver has – the only lineman they have on the offense in the same spot is Matt Paradis, their center. They got three new offensive linemen and a guy moving. So they're going to want to run the ball, and I don't think they're going to be able to. So even if Carolina is questionable in the secondary, I don't think they're going to have enough. Trevor Siemian isn't going to be off. And even though Manning didn't have a good year throwing the ball, one thing he did do, his mind was still there. He could diagnose and look at your defense and get them in the right play and get them in the right running play. So they're going to miss that. I just cannot believe that a guy that has not taken a – he's taken one snap, which was a kneel down. Carolina, I see the score being maybe somewhere around 20 to 10, 23 to 10. And Carolina, if Cam doesn't go on the shelf, has a receiver, his receiver back, that Kelvin Benjamin. So I think Denver – They're gonna have some issues. The defense is still gonna be good, but you cannot win on defense every year. It only happens like that once every 10 years or so. What do you think, Sable?
The third cornerback they have, I'm picking the Panthers too. Third cornerback is that kid from West Virginia, that Daryl Worley.
Yes.
Bradberry is starting, and then Worley's gonna be the third cornerback, the nickel cornerback. But here's why I'm picking the Panthers. And it, you know how I always do something that shocks the – my life, I swear, shocks the hell out of you. I'm picking the Panthers in this game because of their punter.
What?
Pitt. They make the trade. Carolina Panthers. Do you know why Cleveland traded Andy Lee? You want me to tell you this story?
I do know why, but go ahead.
Andy Lee punts the ball, okay, and they're running the ball back, and he did an ole like he was a matador and didn't make the tackle. Okay, so they trade him. The trade they make, Cleveland cuts the punter anyway. So now Denver now has the Carolina now has the best punter, I think, in Andy Lee. Here's a quick story. You know Josh Miller, the Steeler punter?
Oh,
Josh Miller,
yeah.
The punter for the Steelers. He does a talk show here, too, and everything.
Yeah.
Josh Miller punts the ball. Cowher comes over. They run the ball back for a touchdown. Cowher grabs Josh Miller on the sideline and says to him, "What were you thinking when they were running this back for a touchdown and you didn't even try to make a tackle?" And he said, "Coach, what I was really thinking is, what were the other 10 guys doing that should have been making the tackle?" So they cut him, Andy Lee, in the same way. And I think Denver doesn't have the quarterback. I can't see that kid coming in. Like you said, he's only had one snap, and he's playing in a big game like this. I know Denver's at home, but I got to go with Carolina. I got to go with the Panthers.
Just, Matt, before you jump in, just a quick thing. I think Andy Lee, if of course hindsight, should have talked to Sean Swisham last year before the Viking game and told him just run off the field.
Yeah, I wish we all would have wished that Swisham had done, the Matador thing and let him just run on by. It's preseason football. What are you getting bent out of shape about? I don't know. I like how Tomlin was asked before about I think it was Boswell, when he didn't make a tackle or something on a kick return. And they asked him, are you upset? You know, he didn't make that tackle, that he didn't really, you know, give all the effort. And Tom goes, I'm upset that the other 10 guys didn't do it. And if it gets to him, I want him to do what comes naturally and, you know, play football. But it's preseason football. I think they would have been more upset if he had tackled and then injured himself. I don't know.
Oh, but, hey, guys.
What's up?
I got breaking news on the Steelers. And I saw that they had brought this guy in work him out, running back David Cobb. Yes. They said the Steelers are expected to sign him.
So, what does that mean for – is that Fitz or is that Richardson that's out? Who do you think?
I'd say it's Richardson. I think they like Fitz. I think Richardson gives you the explosiveness, but I've always said in my mind, if you're the third running back, the first thing I need you to know is you can pass protect, and Fitz can't. Just don't get my quarterback killed. I think that's job number one, so Fitz can do that. So my money would be it's Richardson. As much as he has more explosiveness, job number one for the third string running back, make sure Ben is upright. I don't know. What do you think, Dave? Oh.
I think Cobb is going to stay on the team until Bell gets back. I think Richardson's going to be there, and Fitzgerald. I think they're going to have three running backs.
Well, they already got D'Angelo.
And one of them will get cut. It'll probably be Cobb, but I don't know who's the better pass protector out of those three and everything like that.
No, but they'll have to cut somebody now to make room for Cobb.
Jordan Dangerfield?
No, he's not going to. He's not going to carry four running backs. He's going to cut one of them now.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be three running backs beside D'Angelo Williams. I think there's going to be four running backs.
No, I don't think so.
Unless
I don't
he hates
think so either.
Unless he hates Richardson. And I don't think.
Well, what do you think, Matt? What do you think? Like,
I think, that's tough. I think over... Mainly for the reason you said the pass protection, I was going to say they were going to cut Fitz, but you convinced me. So I think they're going to cut Richardson, put him on the practice squad, put Cobb on there, and then we're going to go from there. And you're going to get about a 10-hour freakout period where everyone is saying that Richardson is going to get signed to another team. It's not going to happen, and then people are going to relax.
Mac, you know more about this than I do. Can Richardson go to the practice squad? Can Cobb go to practice squad? No, if they
is Richardson's eligibility up?
I don't know the exact rules right now, but I know they in the last few years they've increased the number of guys that you can have that have more than X amount of years, and they keep making it easier to keep more guys and guys that have played long enough. So that being said, I don't really know. I don't think that they're that concerned. Honestly, if they're signing David Cobb, I don't think, and say Richardson is the guy that's cut, I don't really think that you're that worried. Oh, can we sign him to the practice squad? You make that decision. He's played two seasons.
Played for the Rams. He gained a lot of yards. Remember his rookie year? No way he can make the practice squad.
It just depends. It depends on a crew. He had 475 yards.
There's no way.
Carries.
No, there's no way he can make the practice. What was the game? The one preseason game, Toussaint didn't get in it. Remember the whole game? Didn't he didn't play the whole game or something.
Barely.
Wasn't that...
He had a game. Yeah, he had a game where he barely played. And Richardson got the lion's share of the carries.
Just don't know who they like better.
I think it was who they need to look at more.
Yeah.
I would think. We know what we got with. I agree with you. They know what they have with Fitz a little bit more, and wanted to see more of Richardson. But again, that's just my take on who I think. They might go cut, but we'll see. And it's not
official
yet,
be four running backs on the active squad. It's 46. Maybe we'll have one of those four running backs. Well, the three, we're not going to count Williams. One of those other three running backs will be on the 53, but they're going to be inactive up until when Bell gets here. Then one of them will get cut. Maybe that will happen. You're going to keep
I still don't see them keeping four on the active because, again, we're already taking up a spot with Golson. And you know, even though he's inactive, he'll be inactive. I agree with Matt. I think somebody, if they do, it's not official yet. The Steelers assigned David Cobb just 10 minutes ago, so it's not official. But if they do, then they have to make a move.
They liked him over either Richardson or Toussaint then. They must have really liked him to pick him up. I would have waited, but if you're right, they're going to cut one of them. And I don't know who's a better blocker.
Well,
I think
we'll
that's
see.
What's going to Or who's a better special teams guy? And I don't think it's Cobb. I don't think he's the special team guy that I can remember. I think Richardson looked okay in special teams and so did Toussaint.
Oh, yeah. Toussaint is definitely good at he's showing good stuff on special teams. I'm just wondering
who's a better pass.
Down the road, well, you know, Cobb, if it's just for this year, he was only drafted last year. He did horrible. I'm looking up his things. He had 52 carries for 146 yards, 2.8 yards a carry. But he was playing in Tennessee. Their offensive line was awful. So they must like
Remember,
what they see.
Toussaint was back kickoffs, too.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So I think
it's Richardson.
Yeah. Cobb is a bigger guy, too. Not tall, 5'11", he's, depending on who you believe, he's 225 to 230 pounds. So gives him somebody a little bit different. We'll see.
He must like them.
We'll see. It's not, like I said, it hasn't been officially announced yet, but it looks like it is. So sorry to go off track, but I thought that was a...
That was
great. No, that was perfect.
That was better than my ponytails.
that was great.
See, Matt, we
definitely
can talk about...
Definitely be an interesting... Yeah, it's going to be an interesting next 12 hours. Was there something else you wanted to cover, Saba, before we end it?
Are we going to do fantasy or no?
We're running short on time. I think I'm going to touch on that on Friday. For everyone listening, I think on Friday we're going to talk about fantasy. Also, you know, you guys can call in, got any questions. We'll talk about our drafts, how y'all's drafts went. And, of course, talk about the outcome of the game on Thursday, preview the Steelers games, and some of the more interesting other games. That's all coming up, I believe, on Friday of this week. If that's all, then this is going to be Matt Funoff for Fred and Sabo, and thanks for listening to the Black and Gold NFL Recap. Till next time, guys. Later.
Okay, good night.
Bye.